And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. What a great time today has been. Lots of fun. Captain Bruce Smith from ECVT and Bass Outdoors. That's the, your guide service is Bass Outdoors, but B-A-S, not B-A-S-S, right?
Yeah,
right?
Those are my initials, Bruce Allen Smith, B-A-S Outdoors.
And so if somebody wanted to go fishing, I'm like me, count me in on the, you know, like you're having fun, got the little green bass itch and wanted to go with you. Yeah. How does one book and how booked up are you? And is it, you know what I mean? Like
I have a lot of open days. Springtime's starting to book
getting
up.
There.
Yep. But plenty of open days, weekends. The 619-753-0773, or you can reach me through Instagram, Facebook at BAS Outdoors. On either one of those, or my website at BAS Outdoors.
That's awesome, Bruce.
So,
and your number again?
619-753-0773.
There it is.
Or go see him when you're buying your handful of Lucky Crafts at ECBT.
And call or text. Or you can see me at I'll be in there in the morning.
Scoop and Shiners.
Yep, Scoop and Shiners. Amazing. Amazing how many Shiners we sell.
And what days do you function out of East County?
Thursdays and Sundays.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll fill in like on a Friday or something.
But right.
Right now it's Thursdays and Sunday mornings. Yeah.
Somebody wanted to come bend your ear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come on in.
Yep. It's Shiners.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we're having a great time this morning. Again, like Corey had mentioned, if you want to join us, 213-432-1090. Now, what a prize today, huh, Corey?
You had $100 for a shopping spree.
How rad is that?
I mean, if you want to go to East County Bait and Tackle and see Bruce on a Thursday or a Sunday, or you want to go down and see Johnny down at Dana Landing, or go over to the Living Grow Bait and Tackle, right?
Fully stocked up.
Dude, $100 is all yours. Again, the telephone number, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. Man, Rick, there are so many darn texts. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Just like this one says, I fished with Bruce for decades on the offshore scene, both in San Diego and in Los Angeles. Yep. Having him as a spokesperson for the black bass community in San Diego has been very special for us who know his story. I just really wanted to thank Bruce for his investment and as our spokesperson for the club and for all the tournament anglers. And that's from Ed in Baldwin Park.
So, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's so
make
cool.
You feel good about yourself.
It's so cool, Bruce. I mean, you come from the saltwater community, and now to be able to go on a half-day charter or something with you, whether it's El Cap or Otay or wherever it might be locally, I mean, that's a pretty cool deal. What about, do you still fly fish? I mean, is that part of your routine?
Man,
if somebody wanted to do it?
I'm not going to say that I don't, but I haven't in like 2 years.
Okay.
I haven't picked up a fly rod, and I sold some of my stuff just because I was looking at it in the rafters, and it was really good quality sage rods and able reels and stuff. So I sold part of it, but I still have plenty.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
I have plenty.
You can make a pyramid trip happen if you need to.
I can make a pyramid trip happen. I have bass gear, and then I have local trout gear. Because, you know, we used to go up to Wolford and Dixon and just slay on midges and bobbers. And we had, like, a group of us. In fact, like, Corky Yokoi would drive down from L.A., and we'd all meet at Wolford, and there would be, like, a group of rental boats, and we'd all have fly rods and just be like, whoa!
And catching
trout, rainbow trout. Planted rainbow trout.
Did you ever get into the local fly carp fishery?
I did a little bit.
That was one that always cracked me up. There's like, you know,
not as much as like Alex Caddy and those guys and John at the fly stop.
Conway Bowman, I think.
Conway really spearheaded a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I did it. Absolutely. It was like Morena and Sutherland. Sutherland was surprisingly good. Henshaw, of course. And you're stalking the fish, and they're surprisingly wary. They're not easy to catch. Like, you whip it out there, and you got to cast to 100 of them before you hook one. You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And what's cool, all these lakes you're talking about, they're all accessible by shore, too.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
All of
our lakes. Yeah, that's a lot of wading. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes. Hey, you know what? I've got a text that kind of feeds off of what we were just talking about, Bruce. And it says, great to hear you guys this morning. Bruce, did you catch the world record fish at Clipperton back in the day on the fly rod? And if so, can you tell us about it and what was the story behind it to capture it? Thanks again from John.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that earlier, Rick, and I filmed the whole thing too, which was crazy. Is I got on there, and in one day I got two world records, IGFA legal. I went through jumped through all the hoops, mm-hmm. which there's a lot. Had to get the scale certified before I went on the trip. Had to have all my leaders.
You were ready.
I was I knew. Yeah, I was playing the game.
Did you have a hit list of the fish that you were hoping to encounter
with me? On a piece of paper.
Okay,
so I knew exactly.
Like on your person.
On my person.
Yeah.
On the beach at Clipperton. So I knew exactly how much it had to be,
uh-huh.
on which tippet. And I had all my tippets, like, in packages, labeled, and all the tippets were all measured out.
Yeah, sure.
Because they have to be a certain size, certain lengths.
Hardcore.
Oh, yeah. But I had done numerous fly trips there already. So I knew what was going.
Yeah.
I had a good idea of even where to
you
go
knew
on
you
the
were
island.
Going to the motherland.
And yeah, if this was going to do it, if this was going to be my big chance of getting my name in the book. So yeah, so they dumped me off on the beach. I was by myself, took all my water, hiked over to the rock, and stayed at the rock all day, and had my chances. I don't know how many I broke off because it's Clipperton and it's kind of almost every cast or whatever. And at one point of the tide was swinging, and this group of gigantic bluefin trevally, not giant trevally, but these are bluefin trevally. They're smaller cousins.
How big do they get? I mean,
the record, as far as I know, the record is 26 pounds,
okay.
And that was caught by Kathy.
Yeah.
And on a surface iron out of a skiff.
Wow.
Frank's
beautiful
wife.
Beautiful fish. Yeah.
Frank's wife.
I've seen them diving. I mean, they're...
Oh, they're gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. And total bulldogs. They fight so hard. They're like Jack Crevel or any of the Jacks.
But with bright blue spots on them.
Bright blue spots and gray.
Badass.
Yeah. And then, so those came in. I whipped the fly out in front of them. I hooked one. Took me about 20 minutes to land from the beach, literally.
Wow.
On fly gear, on 20 pound even.
In an area that's got coral heads and...
I don't even know how I did it.
Everything else to break you off.
Yeah, I don't know how I did it. But it ran out. It took me 20 minutes. I got it all on video, which is another thing for IGFA that they want. They want at least pictures, but video is better. So
because it really captures the whole moment. I mean, they have no other questions.
It's cheating, and there's so much, you know, so many people want their name in the book.
Right.
That they go through a lot of
A little further extent than they should.
Yeah. So anyway, I landed that one, got it on video, taped it out, released it, waited on land, did the whole thing, and then later in the day I got another one on 8 pound, 4 kg, 8 pound. It was like a 13 pounder.
Wow!
And I got that on video also. So I had two in one day. I also caught wahoo on the fly that trip, and yeah, it was pretty
That's
spectacular.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to be quite honest. I had no idea the story before reading the text. I'm glad that
Yeah. And then I came back and I made a whole video of it, and there's like three different parts of it.
Before people did that too. You know what I mean? Like that a thing
views.
Like, you know, filming something like that. Like that was when there wasn't a lot, you know, like I think you were saying earlier, you filmed it on the original GoPro on a tripod.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of these things that were
just
before
this
its time.
Cheesy little tripod. It kept falling over and I had to stick it in the ground to make sure it was okay. But yeah.
What a great story.
That's awesome. Well, the phone lines are packed. Everybody's dying to talk to you, Bruce. We should jump back into them, Corey.
Absolutely. How about John? John Cohn from Dallas, Texas. Good morning, John.
Hi, John.
Good morning, guys. My two questions for Bruce is I have a Trinx 200. What size Spectre do I put on that? And my other question is I wrap my own rods. What kind of rods should I make for that Trinx 200?
Well, I guess you're fishing in Texas. Are you fishing redfish or are you fishing bass, green bass?
Right now I'm not fishing, but all my gear's in Orange County where my son lives. But when I go there in May to go on my Shogun trip, I'm going to bring back my Trinx 200.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd probably put 50 pound on there. You can go up to 65, but, you know, 65 is kind of, it's not holding very much. Depending if you're fishing it for tuna or yellowtail, I'd go with 50, maybe even 40, because then it'll hold more line. Yeah, you'll have enough line on there at that point.
50 is pretty darn strong, man.
Oh, like 50 is really strong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
for
line
sure.
capacity-wise.
Uh-huh. And it's easy to cast. It's big enough to where it can cast, you know, and you're not going to get backlash like the smaller spectra. It'll backlash easy.
That's one of those things that people don't, you know, a lot of people associate mono with a lighter line you're casting better. Boy, spectra is sure the opposite.
Yeah.
A bigger diameter sure comes off the reel easier.
Yeah, I learned that because I was fishing spectra on a jig rod.
Mm-hmm.
The 80 pound casts so much better than the 60, and if you went to 50 throwing a surface iron
forget
on 50
it.
Spectra, it was tough.
Sure.
Like, you really had to thumb it.
Like
you had to watch your P's and Q's.
Like,
yeah.
How many did you break off before you
realized? Oh, yeah.
A lot of good lures went away.
Yep.
In the learning curve of casting spectra on the surface iron. Because, again, you did it pre Tranks 500, and
yeah.
that is something that has changed a lot, is if a guy likes to cast a surface iron and fish straight spectra, no matter what a person's opinion of a Tranks 500 is, from a guy who's worked in a tackle store my whole life, there is not a reel that will cast braid better than that reel for surface iron yellowtail fishing.
Mm.
The fact that the level line lays your, you know, spectra, you just have to be, you can do it on a newel just fine, but you need to make sure your line is laid tight and straight. Like it's so much less forgiving than mono.
I would look. Instead of looking at my lure,
uh-huh.
I would be looking at my reel every time I wound that
totally.
Lure in to get that spectra just right.
Just perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you make a cast with 40-pound mono, you're a little bit lumped up on one side, whatever, you're going to make your cast and it'll fluff up a little bit under your fingers and it'll work itself right out and
yep.
you'll be just fine. Not that way with spectra.
Nope.
You better be tight and straight the whole time.
Yeah, unforgiving.
And that Tranks just, you know, it obviously with the level wind, it, you know, your line is perfect the whole time, but then also the variable braking system, like as your spool starts to get spinning too fast, centrifugal force pulls those casting brakes out a little bit, slows that spool down. But then as the spool slows down, now centrifugal force lessens and those brakes, you know, slide back into position and don't, you know, and don't affect the entire length of the cast. You know, they just slow the spool while it's going at its best. But you can lose a lot of, you can still
still
pop one off.
It.
Yeah,
still gotta watch
no,
it.
No doubt about it. Well, a great call, John, and thanks so much for that. Another good text come through. Speaking of reels, for Bruce says, "Good morning, guys. I'm primarily a saltwater fisherman, but I'm going to be doing some bass fishing this summer. I was looking for a recommendation from Bruce on a low profile bass reel that will do both saltwater and freshwater fishing. Freshwater at obviously at the lakes and." And saltwater in the bay. That's from Brian in San Diego.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The Tranks 150 is a no-brainer.
That's a badass little reel.
Oh, man. Yeah.
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 I purchased one last year,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to purchase another one for
yeah.
sure. I mean,
yeah.
it's a good... I used it at Picacho's and,
uh-huh.
like, small crank,
yep.
you know, where you can make the mile-long cast, and it's got power, and
mm-hmm.
it's small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's built for saltwater, but it's... A lot of freshwater guys use them for their bigger baits and whatever, but now they're making a 150 size, so...
Yeah, it's a freshwater size.
Yeah, it's a freshwater size.
So you got those nice big gears
yep.
and big handle and,
yep.
you know, like all the parts are heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, on low-profile bass reels nowadays, like when you see some of the models comes out, I mean, there's so many... gear ratio options in freshwater reels that's something that doesn't really exist in saltwater reels. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe you've got one or two options in saltwater, but you'll see a freshwater bass reel that's got a five to, the same reel will have a 5-to-1, a 6-to-1, a 7-to-1.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing 8-to-1.
Yeah.
Like, what is the reasoning and difference behind those? You know, is it technique specific? Like,
you know, that's an awesome question. For the most part, you're going to go middle of the road, and the middle of the road right now is 7-to-1. Now, 6-to-1 is on the lower side, and 8-to-1 is on the higher side. And you want to use, okay, for me personally, I use a 7-to-1 for anything that I'm cranking, using the reel to manipulate the lure with.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a 7-to-1 or even a 6-to-1, depending on how fast I want to wind it in. Crankbaits, chatterbaits. Rattle traps,
yeah.
that kind of thing, where I'm winding.
Anything that requires you to turn the handle to get the bite.
Yes.
You like
so I use a 7-to-1. Now, if I'm using a jig or a worm or a Carolina rig,
where the rod tip is,
or frog, where the rod tip is in play, and you're moving the lure with a rod tip, then I use an 8-to-1 because all you're doing is gathering slack with that. And it's a lot easier just to gather slack with an 8-to-1 than it is a 6-to-1. You don't have to turn the reel handle that many times. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier.
So if you're dragging a Carolina rig and you know you get your bite at the point where there's the maximum amount of slack in your line, you can pick up that slack faster with their 8-to-1.
Yes, exactly.
And unlike saltwater, it has nothing to do with the torque or the power that you're
right.
getting. It's just all about the speed of the lure.
Yeah,
we're not
biting fish for 20 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes or whatever. We're fighting them for 2 minutes at the most.
got that fine. And on the opposite side of those, where and what is the scenario for the slow gear ratio? Like, what's the 5-8, what's the 6?
At very slow presentations, like swim baits, big swim baits like Huddlestons, wintertime crankbait fishing, wintertime, so slower presentation.
Forces you to slow down.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's actually kind of hard to go fast
with a
6-to-1 or even a 5-to-1.
You've got to try real hard to go too fast.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you're really cranking fast, turning the handle a lot.
Low gear ratios bug the heck out of me. I cannot.
They do.
I can't handle it. Yeah. I just, like, most of the bites I want are reactionary, and it's like you're describing. It's like the reel is the, I don't know, it's all about the speed.
Yeah.
I'm with you for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
with that, let's find out what's going on the water, Corey.
Hey, we've got the man on hold, and it's sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fishermen's Processing in San Diego, and coming soon, an all-new and easier online system to book your processing for when your long-range trips return, and plus the addition of the new team members, and it'll continue to make customer service a lot easier. And stop by the location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can check fishermensprocessing.com, and that's going to be so cool. You can book it all like you do your trip.
That's going to be nice, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, we got him. Your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen's on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Rick. Legendary Bruce, what's up, my man?
Legendary Dave. Good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear your voice, Bruce. Kelly Girl and I are just sitting here listening to you. We miss bass fishing for sure. We don't get to do that down here in Cabo, so it's good to listen to you. And it's so funny to think 8-to-1 gear ratio. Oh my gosh, can you imagine back in the day we were three and a half was spectacular.
Yeah. That's right.
That was like epic.
Yeah.
Now, I tried.
You dropped in the 4-to-1 gears and a 4-0 to really get it flying up from a three and a quarter to one, you know?
Yep.
It was 3.25 to 1 to stop. He put those blazing fast 4-to-1s in the yellowtail specials. Yeah.
No
gears. I tried to jig master a few years back, I think 2015 or something, when that bluefin was a mile off the Dana, and me and my buddy were like, yeah, we'll just use our old reels. And I was like, what do we do? Cut the line. We're done. I'm over this. Cut it. I'm not doing this anymore. This is dumb. Why did we do this? But it was all we had. Gang, it's incredible, the ocean, this weather, this pattern, this whole thing happening day in and day out, and then you have a couple days where it's calm and the water gets clean super fast. I know Corey was talking about it a little bit ago on the show, but it bounces back so fast now, nothing makes sense. I talked to Lasley, I talked to Grossbeck, you throw the books in the trash because we would go, oh, the wind blew, it's going to take a week for this to jump back. No, the next day. The premier yesterday, fishing the kelp up there, our outside of your harbor there, got enough.
Did we lose?
Looks like we might have lost Dave there. Little Cabo connection failure, but
I want to know what the premier did.
Yeah, I know.
That was a yellowtail he got.
Yeah,
did they? Okay,
oh, it was a huge one. It was like a 35-pounder.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. And I know the new Seaforth had been wrangling some of the nicer bonito
in
Malloy.
Right up front right now.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was gonna.
And
say something earlier, but I didn't want to, whatever. And but big bonita, right?
Big ones, yeah. Like 6-to-10-pounders.
Oh,
big ones.
I'm home with some shots of yellowtail.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. Do we have Dave back?
Dave, we got you back?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Ever since that hurricane came through here, you guys, that tower's down here are just a mess. So back to what we were talking about. So that yellowtail, it's making a big showing there, La Jolla, Point Loma. That fish is at Catalina, Clemente. It's just the weather. In between the weather, and then like you guys were just saying, I listened to you a second, the big bonita. That stuff's on the 100-fathom curve. Nobody's really fishing for it, but if you go out and throw the feathers in the water and troll around, you'll find that bigger bonita, that
8 to 10 pound fish that we used to love to fish back on the half day boats. It was insane to watch the whole boat look like an umbrella. There's so much fun stuff going on. And then the lobster fishing is like historic. I talked to a couple of the commercial guys. It's the best they've ever seen. So when people say, oh, it's all fished out, well, that's the farthest thing from the truth. And we're absolutely knocking the living bejesus out of them in Long Beach Harbor. I haven't seen it that good ever. It's consistent night after night after night. It's absolutely incredible. So like we say every week, Rick, there is no reason to not go fishing unless the wind's blowing. And then as soon as it stops blowing, you better get back out there because there's no slacking off right now.
You got that right, yeah. Dude. It is time to go, and, you know, certainly a great opportunity. And, man, now with the new fishdope.com, better than ever before, you can save $30 off of a new membership using the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase with no space. They will keep you up to date, like you said, that great info, when and where it's at, like that great bonita fishing out front. And, Dave, if somebody wants to keep in touch with you, the how to, where to, what do we do it?
It's almost impossible to not see me. I would say it's almost impossible. Your saltwater guide's pretty easy to find. And then, hey, I'm going to the Bart Hall show. I'm going to be speaking there Saturday and Sunday, twice Saturday, twice Sunday. I know next Sunday Bart will be on the show, so we'll be yucking it up together. It's going to be fun. Come see us at the Bart Hall show, gang. If you haven't seen me live before, it's quite an experience.
Come hard hat ready.
Yeah, bring your helmet.
Absolutely. I'm the only guy that does a seminar that walks off the stage sweating.
Well, a great job and a great report as always, buddy. Appreciate it very much, Dave, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks, you guys. We're going to kick back and listen to Bruce. Bye.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Corey, phones are packed. Texts are, too. Let's jump into it.
Let's do it. How about Bruce? Bruce calling from Lemon Grove. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. Question for all of you. Got a trip to Lake Pleasant out in Arizona, dude. You guys got any info or ever fished that lake, Bruce?
I never have. I've just watched YouTube videos on it and the whole thing, but I really don't have anything for you. I know I guess the striper are biting right now. It's wintertime. They're biting big spoons, but that's really all I got for you.
Do they get big striper in there?
They have a lot of striper in there.
Yeah, good ones, though? I mean, like...
Not necessarily.
But sizable.
Yeah, 7 to 10 pounds. Yeah. Up to 20.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to a lake you know nothing about. Bruce is going there for the, you know, Bruce from Lemon Grove is going there for the first time. Like, what's a great searching bait, going to get you bites everywhere approach to fishing a spot like that you don't have the local perfect flair figured out, but something you can take anywhere and tend to get bites with it?
Throw an A-rig.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's almost a no-brainer for me. I'd start with an A-rig and just start going down the bank and looking for birds,
yeah,
looking for life, maybe even not even stop the boat until I started seeing life, you know, birds diving or fish popping around or maybe a color change in the water or whatever, but then I'd throw an A-rig.
Now, A-rigs in freshwater have to be a little different than in saltwater,
yeah,
right? There's like hook limitations.
Yeah, A-rigs in California are allowed 3 hooks freshwater, and in Arizona they're allowed 2 hooks.
Okay.
So you can have three dummy baits or 4 dummy baits, but you can only have 2 hooks.
Okay.
So you couldn't have 10 dummy baits with 2 hooks?
You can.
You could. Okay.
Yeah.
You could. Okay.
Yeah, but as long as you only have 2 hooks.
Right, right, right. And I mean, even if you were, like you said, using it as a locator,
yeah,
like if you just knew you were going to take an hour to make a lap around the lake, you know, mm-hmm, try different spots, and no hooks, for crying out loud,
you're going to get those bites.
You would know.
Yeah.
I mean,
they'll show themselves with an A-rig.
Yes. And yep, then you could go back and fish at the stop.
Yeah, it may not be the best thing to throw.
The funnest.
Or the funnest. But you know, you'll get that reaction out of fish.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll find them with that.
How do you differentiate the decoy baits from the hook baits? Is it just a luck of the draw thing? Like, what do you do to get the strike on the bait that's got a hook on it?
Well, it's the way the A-rig is configured.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom 2 hooks and the center hook in California have hooks on them. And that's, so the center hook will be trailing a little bit further back than the other baits.
Like a
and
strack.
It's a little bigger,
yeah,
sometimes,
okay,
usually. Like if I'm using Kitex or MCs or whatever, I'll go with like a 3.5 inch bait on the center, mm-hmm. and a 2.5-inch dummy baits.
Got it.
So it's a little juicier, I guess yeah. you could say. And then the bottom two will have hooks in them, too, because they tend to come up from the bottom
sure.
and eat the bottom two baits or the straggler.
And what percentage would you guess is on that straggler bait? Like the one that's kind of they're designed to eat ear?
You know, I would say maybe 60% okay. is on the straggler bait.
So it's more, but it's not overwhelming. They're
no.
not all on that.
No.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, they eat those bottom baits a lot.
And as much as I don't like it, mm-hmm. the darn thing works, man.
It works.
It produces.
They don't allow it back east in certain tournaments, on tournament trails, I should say.
Because it works so good.
Because it works so good, and it's kind of almost brainless.
Yeah.
You know, you just go down and you're throwing yeah. it over, and fish come, like we saw on yeah. the forward-facing sonar. I used to think 2 years ago that I would have to get it down deep and tick those brush piles or tick
sure.
some kind of rock or something. But come to find out, fish actually like to come up. And even in the wintertime, they'll come up 10 feet, 20 feet to eat this A-rig. So you just throw it out there and just wind it in.
And I think, you know, it just sparked my mind, Bruce. I mean, but if you had the luxury of taking and being able to chum in freshwater, right? Like
yeah.
it would be like taking a tank of Chovy, and your A-rig is like you're throwing a braille of bait every time.
Yeah.
And if the braille of bait goes down, they're too comfortable. But if
yeah.
that braille of bait stays up,
yeah.
it's got fish chasing it.
Very
so when
good.
The other fish see it,
good point.
It's
yeah.
like attack mode.
Yeah, they like coming up for it. They do. They
yeah.
shoot right up.
You can get me all fired up.
You twist up some wire.
I know. I'm ready. Hey.
Oh, yeah. I make all my own. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk more about it when we return on Let's Talk a Kebab, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Cheat and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
There are certain places on this earth that are very special, and I am blessed to have a fishing lodge in one of them. Hi, this is Valerie Hillbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in Sandspit, Haida-Gwaii, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge embarking from the Sandspit Harbor, offering a truly unique fishing adventure. From our fully enclosed cabin boats, untouched, unspoiled fishing grounds, stunning scenery, to the delicious meals, personalized service received throughout your entire trip, we strive to make your adventure an experience that encompasses world-class fishing for Chinook salmon, halibut, lingcod, and so much more. Our goal is to connect you to nature through fishing, and that's just what we do at Queen Charlotte Safaris. You will be greeted warmly and welcomed at our well-appointed lodge. We'll receive you as friends and send you off as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family for many years to come. You will come for the fishing. You will come back for the memories. Give us a call at 1-877-815-2892 or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or on our website, qcsafaris.com.
Hi, this is Bill Varney, and when I'm not surf fishing, I'm at California's premier outdoor recreation shows. The Bard Hall Show's January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center and February 15th through the 18th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details at hallshows.com.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Capressi of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. It's been a fun time in studio having Bruce Smith, Captain Bruce Smith, and man, the texts are coming through like crazy. Phone calls, there is still an open line, 213-432-1090, or you can text this via the app and make sure you leave your name and telephone number, because we're giving away a $100 gift card that you can go out and see Bruce at East County Bait and Tackle. You can step into Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle or go down and see Johnny and spend it down at Dana Landing.
That'd be a hard decision for me, man. I like a couple of those shops a whole lot. You know, I'd be splitting that up a little bit.
I might have to win three of those.
No doubt. Well, we have some very patient callers, which we're going to get to right after this. We had a great text from John and Mira Mesa, and it says, "Hello, Bruce. Guests in the past from ECBT have discussed frog fishing. I've never tried it, but I really want to. What's the best time of year and the best San Diego lake that would be kayak-friendly for frog fishing? And also, could you help me with a gear recommendation?"
Oh, boy.
Well, we do a lot of frog fishing with straight spectra. Just because it floats, there's no stretch. And the best lake would be Otay for frog fishing. San Vicente is actually, you know, it's kind of crazy that it's so clear, but that can be very good. Usually you have to get the water above 70 degrees at either any lake. You got to get it above 70 degrees. Once that happens, then you start fishing frogs.
But like a little bit of moss or any, you know, vegetation.
That's one of the reasons Otay is so good. It's because it's flat and it has so much tules, has so much grass. You know, you're fishing over the grass and back in the tules.
What about Hodges?
Well, Hodges was really good.
Yeah.
Till they pulled all the water out of it.
Yeah.
Actually, it is still really good.
It just changed.
You just have to fish a float tube or a kayak.
Yeah.
But there's no vegetation anymore. Like, it's going to take... Granted, they're not going to pull any more water out of it, so the vegetation will grow. The tules will grow around the lake, and it's going to be this way for the next 10 years. So Hodges will come back as far as the frog fishing goes, and it's spectacular, and it's huge fish. Like, there's always going to be really big fish in Hodges.
Yeah.
More big fish that come out of Hodges than any other lake combined.
I mean, they took those genetics, and that's what they put in Diamond Valley.
It's the purest strain of Florida strain that we have in the Western United States outside of Florida.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't
literally
know that. That's cool.
And Hodges is that's where all the fish came. That's why the fish are so big in Diamond Valley.
Mm-hmm. One of like chunky. Like
because they
fat,
came from Hodges.
Fat all the way to the tail.
Yes.
You know?
You had mentioned using spectra. Is that spectra tied right to the frog? There's no top shot in there?
No top shot. Some guys will put a little bit of a monofilament top shot since mono floats and fluoro sinks. And fluoro will, and even in a little bit, will sink that frog out at the halfway back point of your cast.
Okay.
So they feel that they get a little bit better bite ratio, or they eat it a little better with a mono top shot, but it's kind of a pain in the butt to cast.
Sure.
So,
and that's
most
a personal
guys,
preference.
Yeah, most guys are throwing straight 50 or 65 pound braid.
Mm-hmm. You know? You're putting it you're putting it in the junk.
Like at San Vicente, you have to fish behind the bushes.
Behind them.
To get a bite.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to like cast through the bushes and land it on the shore, pull it off the bank, and be behind the bushes to really get a bite.
The struggle is as much getting your fish through whatever it took to get the bite as it is getting the bite.
Yeah, like at Hodges, when it was really good at Hodges, you had to get to the trees. And you couldn't fish the outside of the trees. You had to get to the base of the trees.
Wow.
And I was thinking that I was like 70% of the time out of the water.
Wow.
On my cast.
That's crazy.
But if you laid it in there and during a shad spawn and you got it next to the trunk,
yeah,
it was a bite every time.
Wow.
It was just getting it in there. That was the hard part.
There's truly nothing more fun than frog fishing.
There isn't.
There's nothing more frustrating either.
It's totally frustrating.
Yes.
Like, you'll miss them. They miss the bait. They come up and they kind of boil on it or whatever. But when they eat it, oh, man, there's nothing better than frog fishing.
Yeah, like, making you fired up?
So great.
It does, for sure.
You can handle that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Day rig out for Corey, but you can handle a good frog bite.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
So, kayak launch. You can launch three different places on Otay. And so Otay is the place.
There you go. Yeah.
I have another one to add to that. Barrett.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Barrett's Barrett's a good frog. Barrett's good frog fishing.
And kayak
friendly.
And
very kayak friendly. Yeah,
very kayak friendly. Yeah.
That blew me away at how dialed some of those kayaks have become. We fished Barrett last year, and I remember like driving out in the rental boat and not being able to catch, and then
they're
being passed by a guy in his kayak, you know, like
in the Hobie pedal.
He had the, you know, one of those torpedo electric motors. It was like he was bypassing us. Had the big giant full, you know, like a 12-inch screen.
Yeah.
Mounted on the bow, standing up.
Lithium batteries changed it all.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yep. I mean, like, we're talking like casting platform. The whole nine was just like, man, we are way outgunned by this dude in this plastic boat next to us for sure.
Oh,
that was pretty fun.
Time.
Well, Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
Oh, let's do it. How about Jeff? Jeff's calling from Mission Viejo. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning. Great show, guys. For those of you that don't remember, Bruce was featured on an early version of the Bobby Flay cooking show, making seared ahi. It was pretty cool to watch. And then I have a question, Bruce. It is. Good to talk to you. Bruce, do you like
good
to fish
good to hear
for
you.
Most of your bass fishing? Yeah, thank you. Do you like to fish straight mono most of the time, or spectra to short mono on your bass gear? I'm going to hang up and listen to the answer.
Oh, okay.
Great call,
thank
Jeff.
You, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you. Yep. All my spinning reels, I have spectra to or braid to mono top shot. On my worm fishing and jig fishing, I have spectra to top shot. And all my top shots are fluoro. And then anything that I'm casting repeatedly, crankbaits, buzzbaits, spinnerbaits, chatterbaits, it's all straight fluoro.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about that knot going through your guys each time.
And is it more for the connection reason or more for what the fluorocarbon does to the lure?
It's more for casting wise, mm-hmm. And low stretch for the, of the fluorocarbon when you're using a crankbait. The, as far as spinning rods go, it's for casting distance and, sensitivity. A lot of drop shot fishing on your spinning rods and whatever. So you want that straight connection of, mm-hmm. of no stretch to your drop shot.
Yeah. There it is.
I like
cool.
it.
Great call, Jeff.
I'm learning, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, this was a fun text. As I was on a fishing club trip, I think it was about 6 years ago. The club went on the Fortune 5 or 6 times a year. We were on the backside of San Clemente Island, and Bruce said, even though there's great tuna around, we're going bass fishing. This place never looks this good. I promise you it's going to be worth it. I think we had over 300 calicos between 2 and 4 pounds, and the biggest of the day was a 10.6 weight on a scale. It was a special day that I'll remember. Remember forever. It was from Mike in Yorba Linda.
Oh, a text right from my heart.
That's a good day of bass fishing.
That was, yeah, there was some pretty, San Clemente can be so special, such a special place, and that, get around those boiler rocks, and if you got the right current and bait, it can be pretty spectacular. We had days there for, 300. I think our best day was over 500,
and
up to 10 pounds.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was
it's a special
lot of fun.
Place, man.
Yeah, a lot of fun. The Dana Wharf guys.
I had a feeling. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's
what
coming.
Mike was, but I don't know if that was with who you talked about. I figured if not him, I know that those guys spoke so highly of doing that with you, and they love catching big bass.
Yeah, yeah, that's their gig. Yeah, we did that 2 days. I just reposted that video this week where we went out to Tanner Bank and had phenomenal fishing out there. But then we spent all day the next day. Fishing just boiler rocks on the south
so
end,
cool.
And we had over 500 fish, and all released, of course.
Yeah.
And they're very, they just love bass fishing, and they love bass fishing with big bait, like big sardine, big mackerel, and whatever. So they're always going for the biggest one. That's their club thing. They have a board that they mark all the big fish on for the year.
Wow.
And it's a big award at
Pretty
the end
cool.
of the year. Yeah.
And I know that, you know, those guys like targeting big ones. I mean, you guys had some notably big bass on those trips.
Yeah,
eights
oh yeah,
and nines,
seven,
and
eight,
pounders,
nines,
like.
10 pounders. That one 10 pounder, which was the biggest one that I had saw when I owned the Fortune, in those 10 years of fishing San Clemente, we caught twice that same
the
fish.
The same fish.
Same
no
fish.
Kidding.
Yeah,
really?
It had a distinctive tail on.
That's
it.
Okay. Cool.
So
yeah,
my
on
question,
the same rock. Corey, really frothed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right. Now I'm frothed, man. No way. Really, So
and we weighed it both times.
Yeah, rad.
So it was 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far apart was catch 1 and 2 and size difference?
It was the same year.
Okay.
Catch 1 was in, we were taking the boat up there, so it was beginning of March.
Yeah.
And then catch 2 was that fall, and that was in September.
Yeah.
How cool.
And not much size difference? Or
No. Not didn't change hardly
it
at all.
It gets that big, man. There's...
Didn't change at all.
Yeah, wow.
That's cool.
I love hearing it, man.
Yeah. Those big ones are special fish. You know what I mean? Like, that fish has been around a long time, and it's eaten a lot of baits, and it's avoided a lot of things. Like, that's a cool fish.
And, mm-hmm. and if you're trying to fool one, I mean, a mackerel or something like that is the way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You get the school foamed up with sardine or chovy, mm-hmm. and here comes the big bait.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was funny. That day, that specific day, we started out with sardine. And we were chowing them, and we were getting them going. And then halfway, we ran out of sardine, and all we had was squid.
Oh.
And it kind of took a little while, like an hour, of just fishing squid and throwing squid to get them to go on the squid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
They didn't really dig it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But
cool.
They did. Eventually they did.
I dig it, man. That's cool.
Good stuff. I actually have a good text.
I want to hear it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It says, good morning, guys. Bruce, I fished with you several times many years ago when you were driving the Shogun. Do you miss those times on the ocean? Question right there, number one. And would you consider going back to being a boat captain again, which you are with your own guide service, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so he says, I caught my biggest yellowtail with you on the Shogun, a 52 and a quarter pounder. Great memories, he says, Ron.
Yeah. Well, it's always
yellow, Ron.
It's always an option. Yeah, that's a congratulations on that yellowtail. That's a huge yellowtail. It's always an option. I keep my captain status up to par.
You keep the wheelhouse door open.
Yeah, yeah. If the opportunity came along, then I would definitely look at it.
I see you running relief here for a guy or two throughout the season.
And you know, I did the first year that after I sold the Fortune, I was up going helping Sean out on the Pride and whatever up in 22nd Street. He was calling me and doing that. And this past year, I didn't do anything. I've been more concentrated on guiding, on creating a new business.
Yeah, sure.
So,
but what a cool way for all these people that know you and have known you for decades, from the Shogun and the Fortune and, you know, whatever, to be able to go spend a half day or a day with you on one of the local lakes.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have them out. Uh-huh.
And I think that's what's so cool is, you know, again, you do not have to be a hardcore bass aficionado. You know, if you know how to cast a reel, come go fishing. You're going to put people on the fish and enjoy a rad day on the lake. And you never know, you know, you might end up being the next Bruce where that green bass gets under your skin and that's all you want to, that's all you want to do from there on out.
So do you cater? I mean, to people that really don't have the gear?
Oh, yeah. In fact, most of the clients that I get right now are from out of town.
Really?
They're vacationing here, and they don't want to go on the ocean for whatever reason. They get seasick or whatever, but they like to go fishing, so they go lake fishing. And the lakes are so close to downtown, it's really... a thing.
We're back to that thing where it's a 25-mile drive
right.
to any of our lakes.
Like you were saying earlier, you know, back in Texas, a lot of these lakes are out in the middle of nowhere.
Hours.
Hours away from any airport or whatever. But here, we got hotels, we've got
restaurants. If somebody's staying at Hotel Circle, they're in Otay in 15 minutes. Like.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool.
So that's where a lot of my clients come from.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
A good way to do it, for
business
sure.
Business trips, they come in, you know, they'll have a day off, and they come out and they go fish for half a day. Yeah.
It's good dig it. Well, hey, another great text comes through. It says, hey, Rick and Corey, great show as always. Captain Bruce I wanted to get your thoughts regarding whether or not Vail will open again for fishing. I started fishing there when it was public in the late 70s and early 80s, and then as a member when it went public. It was simply an awesome bass fishery. Love to hear your thoughts from Dan Stokely in Durango.
Yeah, you really never know what's going on with Vail. It's gone, it's changed hands so many times, and it's just up in the air. Will it ever be publicly open? No, I don't think so. They're going to put some houses around it. And those guys with the houses will have access to Vail.
Is that happening now, or is that something that will...
I heard rumors of them building houses around it, yeah.
Which is happening to...
Southern California in general.
I mean, he used to shoot ducks at Otay Lake, right?
Right. Yeah.
And now there's homes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, just the way it goes.
Yeah, so you're going to have to buy a house.
Yeah. And Vail's a cool lake.
Oh, I loved it. I grew up in Hemet. So, and that was before Diamond Valley, so we fished Vail.
That was the lake.
Uh-huh. That was the lake.
Yeah.
Because Skinner at that time was terrible.
Yeah.
It was a trout fishery.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have strappers in there. There was nothing in Skinner. There was trout and a little bit of bass.
Skinner's a good lake.
Now it is.
Now, yeah.
Now, it's so weird. It's so weird. There's huge bass and there's stripers, decent striper fishing in there. And it's such a, so different. And you would have thought that back in the 80s, it would have been so much better, but it wasn't. It was terrible. It was like a sterile lake.
But I think today, maybe the shad population, I think there's a pretty large shad
coming in from the river.
Yeah.
Yeah. That always has that influx. And the same thing with Paris, you know, Paris never had largemouth when I was growing up. We had spotted bass. It had the world record spotted bass
in it. Right.
Really? 9 pounders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then, and this was all before Diamond Valley. So Vail was our gem. Like, we would go there for tournaments and whatever. I was 15 years old in the Hemet Bassmasters.
<That's> crazy.
Those guys, I really have to hand it to those guys for letting me in the club.
There's an old Western Outdoor News cover with Pete with, I think, a 13-pounder out of Vail in the corner of the world headquarter there. Yeah, like an old old Western News shop back in the day. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember when Rich Tauber caught a 13 on a Zara Spook out there.
That's rad.
Yeah. Or not Tauber, Rich Holland.
Okay.
The writer from Western Outdoors.
Yeah, Rich.
Yeah.
Sure.
Rich Tauber being a U.S.
Tauber's up north.
He's probably caught plenty of those.
Yeah.
Hey, a fun text going away from your freshwater bass side, anyways, is from Randy in Idaho. It says, I know Bruce is a fly tire. As a tire myself, I'm always curious what vices other people use. I tie on a 35-year-old Renzetti presentation. Bruce, what do you like to tie on?
I tie on a Renzetti.
There you go.
Yep.
Randy, you're in good company.
Yeah, Renzetti's. I love my Renzetti. It's still growing strong. In fact, I've had two of them, but that's what the same one I use.
So how?
That's funny.
How? If I was going to buy a Renzetti, I mean, I don't want to buy a $500 unit, right? But
what?
Is there 150?
That's exactly what I'm tying on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The basic one is what I'm tying on.
And it's got the rotating.
Uh huh. It's got the rotating, and it has cam action,
yeah.
So you don't have to twist it off.
I really don't know what I'm talking about.
I tied a lot of flies on that thing.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I commercial tied for a little bit up north, and commercial sold them in some fly shops around the Santa Cruz area
for
pyramid flies
at
the time when I was super into pyramid.
Rick,
cool.
2 hours isn't enough.
I know, it's wild.
Yeah,
it's wild. We don't have a lot of time. Let's try and sneak one more in there. Terry from L.A. Gardens, you got a quick question for us, Terry?
Good morning, Terry.
Yo, Terry. Well, that's extra quick. Well, why don't we try the same thing? Chuck from Dana Point, you got a quick question for us, Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, man. You grew up out there by me, I guess. Did you ever fish pudding stone? And some guy from Arkansas taught me how to get crawdads with bacon. And, man.
The only time I fished pudding stone was when I caught my first rainbow trout when I was 6 years old.
That's cool.
Caught it out of Pudding Stone Lake. I was born in Pomona. I grew up in Hemet, but I was born in Pomona, and my grandmother would take me out to Pudding Stone Lake.
That's right.
And we caught trout out there. But as far as bass fishing goes, I've never fished bass out there, even though I have a number of friends that fish it.
Sure.
Speaking of, I mentioned Corky Yokoi and Kyle and his son. They fish Pudding Stone all the time. So I get reports from there, and they do well. It's really tough.
I'm sure.
I can only imagine how tough it is, but it's not easy.
Access to everybody lakes tend to get a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, great call. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's $100.
Probably should have said that we were doing that. My bad.
I know. It's all good, man. Hey, we just have good times here on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this $100 gift card to either Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, Dana Landing on Mission Bay, or East County Bait and Tackle. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Join us as we honor 76 years of Hall Family Shows at the Bart Hall Show, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center, presented by Progressive. Celebrate the passion of fishing, boating, hunting, international travel, off-road adventure, and the overland experience. Hundreds of seminars. Learn to trout fish the Eastern Sierras. Bass fishing legends from fresh and salt water will entertain you daily. Legendary anglers will celebrate our unique California offshore fleet from Point Conception to beyond the Mexican border. Learn to fly fish at the Fly Fishing Show within a show. Acres of boats, fishing boats, towboats, pontoon boats, inflatables, personal watercraft, and more. All under one roof. Make the deal of a lifetime. Enjoy the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Turner's Outdoorsman Ultimate Air Dogs, and the Convict Lake Great American Duck Races. Join CCA Cal for a special show package. Thanks to Accurate Fishing Tackle, Okuma, Bob Sands Fishing Tackle, Daiwa, and the Southern California Ford Dealers. The Bart Hall Show, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Details at hallshows.com. That's hallshows.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and we're gonna have him flip the coin right there. Go for it, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce's gonna do us the honors. Find out who's got themselves $100. We have
a caller
today,
which happens to be Mike and Rosemead. Congratulations.
Yeah, Mike. Congratulations. You're stoked.
$100.
$100. ECBT, Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, or Dana Landing. It's your choice. You're getting hooked up. And man, Bruce, can't begin to tell you how much fun we have. This is a lot of fun. A great time. I had no idea which direction the call. You know, that's the fun thing about Let's Talk Hookup. It's wherever the callers want the show to go. Yeah. I didn't know if it was going to be all, remember the biggest bluefin we caught together or what, but what a fun mix of stories and fishing, and especially your newest passion now, which is freshwater fishing,
yeah,
East County Bait and Tackle. One more time, give us a rundown if somebody wants to meet you at the tackle store, or better yet, go fishing with your guide service. How do we do it?
Yep, I'm at the tackle store right now. I'm doing Thursdays, Sunday mornings. I get there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Bass Outdoors, B-A-S Outdoors, and you can get a hold of me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Big Fish Happen at TikTok, and or you can call me at 619-753-0773. It's 619-753-0773. Texting is good.
Yeah.
I'm not old.
Yeah.
I am old, but I'm not
old.
You're
good on the text. I'm going to go fishing with you, man.
I'm good texting.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Well, great job. We really appreciate having you, man. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Great story. We appreciate you. What a fun day. Corey and I coming back with you next weekend. Next Saturday, Captain Jake from the Fortune, Bruce's old boat, as well as Captain Tim Ekstrom. And then next Sunday, Bart Hall going to be talking with Pat McDonald all about the Bart Hall shows. More Let's Talk Hookup coming for you next weekend on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.